hello there and happy Friday to the Take Two family. This is your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie and you. And this is the first Friday of the month. I love the first Friday devotions. It's also the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. Wow, we just love him. He is a powerhouse of a saint. In fact, our Protestant brothers and sisters love St. Francis of Assisi as well. So he's loved all the way across the world and in all faiths because he is just an incredible saint. And we can learn a lot about him revolving around the Eucharist. And that is our show today. Today is, because it's the first Friday, it's our Real Presence show. So it's all about the Most Holy Eucharist, the source and summit of our Christian life. So what I need from you, our dear Take Two family, and you don't have to be Catholic to call in, but you can't get started with your weekend yet. I need your support. I need your help. I need your prayers. And we need your calls right now at 833-288-EWTN. If you want to talk anything about the Eucharist, maybe something happened to you that really changed the way you feel about the Eucharist. Maybe something, you had a conversion experience. You have the gift of tears where you just feel like every time you receive the Eucharist, you break down in tears. And it's just beautiful. Certain prayers you may want to share with all of us that you say before, during, and after receiving the Eucharist. Maybe you're a daily Mass goer and you'd like to say what that has done for you in your spiritual life, going and receiving the Eucharist on a regular basis, like so many of the saints talked about, like Blessed Carlo Acutis and St. Francis of Assisi. By the way, there's a connection there, folks, between St. Francis of Assisi and Blessed Carlo. That's why he wanted to be buried in Assisi, which he's laid out there in Assisi, Italy. And so there's a lot to be said today on this beautiful feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. And I'm going to also share how devoted St. Francis was to the Eucharist and how he wanted us to have a frequent reception of the Holy Eucharist. But it's important that we're in that continued parish phase of the Eucharistic revival. And it's important that we talk about the Eucharist to the world. So this is your opportunity. On the first Friday of every month, Jerry and I decided we were dedicating the whole entire episode to the Eucharist. And it's your opportunity to step up and share what you believe, what you know, what you understand, how the Eucharist has helped your spiritual life, how you've gone deeper because of receiving the Eucharist. Maybe you long to receive the Eucharist, but unfortunately you're not in a position where you can, because you don't want to receive unworthily. That's not a good thing. You don't want to have a mortal sin on your soul and then receive the Eucharist because you're just heaping another mortal sin on top of your soul, and that's not a good thing. We can talk about that. How about you're not a Catholic and you listen to Catholic radio? Lots of folks listen to Catholic radio because they like what they hear, and maybe you want to ask a question about the Most Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So powerful, you guys. This is the show. We need to shout it to the world. If you show up strong, you're going to send a message. You're going to send a signal to the world that we really do care about the source and summit of our faith. So please ring those phones. Absolutely ring those phones. I'm on pledge drive today, guys, for Catholic Radio Network. It's their final day. So we're always talking about ringing the phones. So yeah, ring the phones here. That's great. We can't hear them ring, but we can see it light up, and that's a beautiful thing. So, and there's a lot of Catholic radio stations, by the way, that are having their final day of pledge drive today. So please, when your local Catholic radio station comes to you and asks for the funds, step up in a big way. We had some really big, beautiful pledges today at Catholic Radio Network. It was wonderful to see everybody coming together. And a lot of priests came into the studio to encourage calls to come into Catholic radio. It's beautiful when our shepherds of the faith step up and support Catholic radio. So, and we've got an anniversary of one of our own that I'm gonna share with you in a moment, which is today. So that's exciting. Lots happening here, but we need to hear from you. You're talking about the Eucharist today on this Real Presence show, and here's the number to dial in. Think about it for a moment, and then please call in 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also text us if you have something to say about the Most Holy Eucharist, and that's always a great way to get in touch with us. I'll share how to text us in a moment. But today we do want to wish our very own Father Mark Mary just a happy, happy anniversary. This is amazing, and this is the day we wish him such great prayers and blessings for continued ministry work. It's his 21st anniversary of his ordination, and this is from all of us here at EWTN Radio. So, Father Mark Mary, you're awesome. Happy anniversary, and thank you for saying yes to your vocation. Okay, so if you want to text us about the Most Holy Eucharist, you text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question about the Eucharist or your comment about the Most Holy Eucharist, and just know that message and data rates may apply. Today is the saint of the day. Saint of the day today is Saint Francis of Assisi. So if you have something to say about Saint Francis, please do so, because remember, he received the stigmata, the wounds of Christ. So we can talk about that as well. I just wanted to let you all know that our wonderful producer, Charles Beery, he is right on top of things. He is incredible. He posted on the Jerry and Debbie Facebook page the Stay With Me prayer, the Padre Pio Stay With Me prayer. Why did we post that again? We've posted it several months back because it is one of my favorite prayers. I love that prayer. Oh, everybody should know by now how much I love Padre Pio, but that prayer is so incredibly powerful. You know, folks, let me share something with you. It doesn't take a lot of words to really understand how we are to be in relationship with God. It just takes, I believe, certain words that really keep us going, like the word powerful. Okay, prayers are powerful. Yes, they are. Absolutely, because they move hearts, they move souls. There's that beautiful Holy Spirit power attached to prayers, okay? And another word that's the word of the year for me, this is my word for 2024, is connection. And, you know, we're celebrating Blessed Carlo Acutis' feast day next week, and I will tell you, it's right around the corner, and I will tell you that connection, that's what that young saint was all about. He connected with God each and every day, and so did St. Francis of Assisi. You see the connection there? There's a connection right there between the two saints, but there's a connection definitely with God, and that's what we need to enter into, that daily connection with God. And through the Most Holy Eucharist, we can build that strength for that journey, because God wants to be intimate with us in the Most Holy Eucharist. It's Real Presence Show today on Take Two. Please call us. Okay, this is our Real Presence Show, all about the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist. Very powerful. Another word, power, it is powerful. And God wants to be so close to us that he wants us to take him inside of us, our being, so that we can have that spiritual strength for the journey, so we can get back to God. So like St. Thomas Aquinas always stated, we come from God and we're meant to get back to God, right? So that is so important. We're going to talk more about St. Francis of Assisi. I'll weave in some things as we go to the calls. I'm going to get to the calls in just a moment. If you'd like to join the conversation, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we have a special treat for you at the end of the show, so you have to stay tuned in for the entire hour, because Jerry Usher, my co-host, will be in for a seminary check-in. So we're going to see how he's doing with his classes, and that's always exciting. We can't wait to have him back with us at the end of this first semester, so that's going to be fantastic. He's going to have a lot to share with us, and it's going to be great. But he'll be with us for the final closing moments of this particular Real Presence Show. By the way, it is First Friday, and I love First Friday devotions. I love First Saturday devotions. It all comes with certain requirements to enter in to it, with going so many First Fridays, and then going to confession and the prayers, and it's really, to go to Mass is so important on First Friday, you know, because we are repairing the damage that we did to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So going to Mass, showing up at Mass is absolutely key. I wish I could have gone this morning. My husband went, so we're married. So I actually sent him a text as he went to Mass, and I said, okay, the two shall become one. So go to Mass for me, because I was on pledge drive, but I will catch the EWTN Mass tonight. But my husband went, and it is very, very powerful, the first Friday and first Saturday devotions. Okay, I'm going to get to the phones in just a second. If you'd like to join in, there is some open phone lines, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. I just wanted to share with our listeners St. Francis statue with the animals. Celebrate today's feast of St. Francis of Assisi with a unique statue. St. Francis kneels on one knee and is surrounded by animals, making it perfect for both those devoted to this saint and for those who also love animals. A wolf sitting next to him places his paw in the hand of the saint, as a gentle rabbit and a bird look on. It's so beautiful. I've seen this statue. It's gorgeous. Made of plaster resin mix, this piece is about 6 1/4 inches wide by 6 3/4 inches high. These statues are made in Colombia and are individually hand-painted. And these are all available right now at EWTNRC.com. And you get free standard shipping of online orders, $75 or more. The standard shipping is for the continental U.S. only. So all you have to do is use code FREE at checkout. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. I really would love to have more calls coming in about the real presence. We need to shout it to the world, folks. This is a platform for all of us as the lay faithful to come together, and we are making a difference because people are listening. Charles and I get the feedback, and you just have to trust us. People's hearts are being changed by the conversations they hear from your calls. So don't sit this out, and please don't get started with your weekend yet. I really do want you to ring those phones and fill up those last open phone lines talking about the most holy Eucharist today on this beautiful Real Presence show on the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. 833-288-3986. Okay, our first caller is Pat, and Pat is from Avon Lake in Ohio, listening on The Rock. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead. Thank you for being first up here.
Thank you. My husband and I went to the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. We were blessed to be able to go, and it was just a wonderful experience with 50,000 plus people coming together to celebrate the Eucharist. And there were two things that come out in my heart, and one is that Bishop Barron said, his comment was, you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. And the second is, I'm a Third Order Carmelite, and one of our reflection days, we were told that the Eucharist, once you receive it, the more you receive it, the more beneficial it will be when you get to heaven.
Yeah, true. It transforms you. Transforms you from the inside out, absolutely. Because our Lord, I mean, I'm so glad Bishop Barron said that. That's very, very, that's very strong words. And I think we need to hear that as Catholic Christians. But Pat, you must have really loved it. I was talking to a priest earlier this morning on the pledge drive, and he was telling me he was at the event as well in July. And he said it was just incredible how the focus, you could tell that everybody was truly focused on Jesus. And it was so moving that you took it home with you. Is that what happened with you and your husband?
Absolutely. I'm still feeling it. I hope to spread it around as much as I can, because it just was sensational. You know, you hear, you go to Mass, you do all the wonderful things as a Catholic, but then you celebrate with all these people and seeing all the religious. It was a real miraculous experience, and I'm really glad I got to go. But we have to keep spreading it.
Yeah, we do. And are you doing things in Ohio at your parishes? Are they continuing with different events and classes and all sorts of things? Do you know?
Oh, yes, we are. As a matter of fact, this Sunday at 4 o'clock in Avon Lake St. Joseph's Church, we're having the Rosary Coast to Coast. We'll be doing the Rosary with as many people that can come out to it. And also, there's been a lot of other programs to foster the spread of the Eucharistic Congress. It's been wonderful in Cleveland.
Wow, beautiful. Did you say you're a Third Order Carmelite?
Yeah, nice. I will make my first vow. I'm sorry, promise. It's a promise.
Promise, yeah.
On October 12th. Yeah.
Oh, nice. So isn't that the Feast of Carlo?
I think it is. I think it might be. I'm not sure.
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. I love the Carmelite spirituality. So you were really drawn to it. Anything you want to say about that? Because we always will have listeners that say, what did she do? What is she doing? So why don't you give us a little, just a little snippet of what that entails?
Well, it was really hard to figure out which one I really look forward to. I know I learned about all the different orders, and this is, again, a lay person, just a mom. And I really felt drawn to the meditative and getting close to St. Therese, and to I took on the name St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross because I admired her. So many of the saints just really drew me to the order. And again, I'm a third order.
Right.
So, but I really, and the people, it's a wonderful community too.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. Okay, I knew it was October 12th. I just wanted to make sure. So Blessed Carlo Acutis is October 12th when you're going to take those promises.
I'll be praying to him that day. Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Oh, I'm so happy for you, Pat.
Yes, it is cool.
I put you down in the book. We're going to be praying with you on October 12th, okay?
Oh, thank you. Have a blessed day, and God bless your program.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you for calling in and attending the Eucharistic Congress. That's huge. I wish I attended. I know that our producer, Charles Beery, attended, and so did Jerry Usher. I didn't get to go because of the problems with my eyes. It was hard for me to travel during July, so I didn't get a chance to go. But I will tell you, I was so grateful to EWTN for the excellent coverage of the whole event. So thank you, Pat. God bless you. Okay, we are getting...
God bless.
Thank you so very much. Okay, Pat's going to free that phone line so you can call in if you want to talk about the Most Holy Eucharist. We're going to get to Nancy next, but hold on, Nancy. I got to give the number a couple times because, as Pat said, this is too powerful. This is too important. And we have a lot of influence on the people that are listening. So people are listening right now, folks, and they're absorbing. We need to do the hard work of going out there and being willing to put ourselves out there with a phone call and making those statements, those bold, courageous, strong, truthful statements about the Most Holy Eucharist. Who's with me on this? Fill up those phone lines. Every single phone line should light up plus, and we have a whole back waiting area. Those should fill up as well. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. And I do know that it's beautiful around the country, the weather right now. I do know that. But folks, we do need to pray for the people in North Carolina and the surrounding areas that really are just still struggling with all the devastation. I spoke with, everybody knows that my dear friend that I've had since we were toddlers, Kristen, and she lives in North Carolina. She gave me the whole understanding. She's just outside of where everything happened. And her and her husband were safe, but neighbors and friends of hers all got impacted. It was really, really tragic. And still continues to be so. So we need to send them prayers. We need to send them support, whatever we can do, because that's just horrible how so many people feel like they are helpless out there, and they're trying to get assistance, and people can't get to them. So I just wanted to remind everybody to remember. But for the rest of the country, it's beautiful weather. I'm sure you guys are all thinking weekend plans. I really need you to call in, though. 833-288-3986. And we'll get to Nancy now from Providence, Rhode Island, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Nancy. Thank you so much for waiting, and welcome to the Real Presence Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm a first-time caller. I have 2 points. My first point is I was fortunate to retire a little early, about 14 years ago, so therefore I make it my business to get to a daily mass, of course, not 7 days, but at least 5 days a week. And I was taught something 20 years ago, and it fills my heart that at the consecration, mm-hmm. as the priest is elevating the chalice, your prayers should be, and oh my God, the blessings are endless, to put whatever you're holding in your heart. For me, I've been blessed with like a dynamite family and grandchildren. My husband's a good guy. I put them in that chalice as it's being raised and ask the Lord to bless them and wash them in his blood. And mm-hmm. it's such a beautiful feeling. It's beyond words. So I just wish everybody would do that and they would learn to appreciate the living sacrifice that we get to witness every day. I do have a second point, but it was a little giggle that I had. I also, while I'm poking around the house doing my things, I'm always looking for good things to listen to, and I do listen to a Christian radio. What drew me to it was a lot of teachings on the Old Testament and a lot of history that even though I'm born, raised, Catholic educated, a lot of little things that I didn't realize. And so far, nothing that they've said has ever been contrary because it's concentrated mostly on the Old Testament. So, but what made me giggle this morning is that the preacher was emphasizing that miracles still do happen on a daily basis. And many Christian churches don't think that Jesus still performs miracles. And she was going on and on. And then she said, after all, he changed water to wine, and mm-hmm. he can still do that. And mm-hmm. it made me giggle. And it's like the, you know, the, what is it, like 95% of the Christians don't believe in the real presence of turning the water to wine, but yet here you are saying that Jesus can still do this. And I was like, well, yeah, he does it every single Mass.
Right.
He turns the water to wine. So that it just kind of made me giggle. Come on, let's be consistent here. Mm-hmm. So those mm-hmm. are my 2 points.
Those are great points. Okay, so putting your requests, what's in your heart, into the chalice as the priest elevates the chalice, absolutely. That's a beautiful way to bring all of the prayers to the altar. And it is, and again, here's the word, the key word, powerful. It is very much has that direct connection to God because God is on the altar, right? So it is incredible to do that. Most Catholics miss it. Okay. Why? Because as Catholics, especially, and I'm just going to say this, especially cradle Catholics, we tend to sometimes go on to a little bit of autopilot during certain portions of the Mass. How do I know that, Nancy? Because I was a liturgy coordinator for many years, and few years. It was a lot of years. It felt like a lot of years. But I would notice people. People. That's what I did a lot of people watching, because you try to get a sense of what's going on in the community. And you can tell that people would zone out. And it's very unfortunate because they're missing an opportunity to really put those things that are on their mind and heart that are weighing on them and bringing them right to the Lord. And as for miracles, well, of course, God's in the miracle business. There's miracles all throughout Scripture. And, you know, I heard it said, actually, it was said one time by Mother Miriam. She said, she was talking about how, and I hope I say it correctly, she was talking about how God commanded the bread to obey, and it did. Okay, so you're talking about the Eucharist. And it is so true. That's God. And the sooner we recognize that God is God, and we are not, and we recognize that he wants to do all these things for us so that he can be so very close to us on this journey, it makes it very, we can understand it. It has purpose. It has meaning. And then we get ourselves back to God that much quicker in a beautiful, seamless way. The saints knew it. St. Francis used to preach on it. So did Carlo Acutis. He lived his 15 years of life like that. You look at Padre Pio constantly saying that. So yeah, I'm right with you, Nancy. It's amazing how so many folks let go of God in the miracle business, and they let go too quickly. But you know, Nancy, there's one more thing I want to say about that. If you can hang on, if you can't hang on, I understand it, but if you can hang on, there's one thing that you just said I want to pick up on the other side of the break. So stay with us at 833-288-EWTN. Call us, you guys. This is the Real Presence Show. We're talking all about the Most Holy Eucharist. Okay, this is our Real Presence Show today. We do have Jerry Usher joining us at the end of the show, so you got to stay with us. We're speaking to our friend Nancy in in Rhode Island. And I just wanted to before we get back to Nancy and what we were chatting about miracles, God being in the miracle business, I want to just share something real quickly. I'd like for you to call in and share your experience of the Eucharist. Do you put your needs and your desires and your wants and your wishes into the chalice as the priest raises the chalice during Mass? And I don't want you to out yourself, but I really want you to fess up a little bit, okay? Do you sometimes go into autopilot at Mass? Well, I know it to be true because, as I said, as a liturgy coordinator, I used to talk to parishioners all the time, and they would say, yeah, I actually like fell asleep or I was daydreaming. Let's really talk about it, because we need to change that a bit if you really want to get the most out of receiving our Lord and Savior each and every time you go to Mass. 833-288-3986. That's the number. If you don't feel comfortable giving us your first name, that's okay. Give us your confirmation name or another name you'd like, okay? But it's important we talk about this because other people are dealing with it. Now, we're speaking with Nancy in Providence, Rhode Island. She's talking about how Catholics have lost kind of their maybe feeling about God being in the miracle business. And as she was speaking, it was dawning on me how often I talk with people in the life coaching work that I do, which, by the way, you can find us at standtalltoday.com. But with the life coaching work that I do, people will give up on God too quickly because they feel like they don't deserve a miracle. They don't think God's going to show up. They don't think God can. Sometimes they actually think they don't think God can do it. Of course God can do it. He's God. Okay. But they don't think God's going to really give that, you know, supernatural miracle that we all want. And most people do go for physical healing, but oftentimes God provides that deep spiritual healing. And that's the more important healing. So it's very interesting. And Nancy, I'd like you to comment on that, because I hope I heard you correctly on what you were trying to share with the world today.
Yes. That's all I can say is yes. The healing, it's, you know, that quote, beyond understanding. Like, you can't even conceive of the peace that the Lord brings to you when you participate in the Eucharist. The knowledge that he gives you, knowledge of understanding, if you're going through a little trial, and maybe nothing severe, but a little thing that's irritating you in life. And you participate in the Eucharist, and then you sit back and you thank God and everything, and then all of a sudden, peace comes over you, and like an answer comes over to you. This mm-hmm. is the way I really should be handling this. And it never fails. It absolutely never fails if you are trusting in the miracle itself and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You just can't fail. That's it. God won't let you. He's got you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing. And then, it made me sad when I said that I do listen to some Christian preachers, mm-hmm. only because they, in my opinion, they seem to concentrate on the Old Testament. And as I said, I was born and raised Catholic education, went to a Catholic college. There was not a big emphasis on the Old Testament, so I enjoy it. And when this Christian preacher brought out that God is, after all, he changed the water to wine, he's still in, and you know, I just have to giggle. And it's like, folks, this is our whole point in Catholicism, that God promised us that this was the way it was going to be, and you're acknowledging it, but yet you're not practicing it. And so that sorry if I giggle, it makes me sad, but I also just giggle, like, come on.
Right But you were saying that, and I hope I heard you correctly, so you were leaning on a Protestant preachers to go into the Word, right? And I can understand that, because it's interesting. Sometimes we as Catholic Christians, we sometimes go, well, we're not going deeper into the Word, but we are when we go to Mass. We are, and we can, and we do. So that's not necessarily a true statement. It's how we have to apply ourselves, and so it's important. But I can understand you going, because I've gone on some of the Protestant channels on TV to listen to the preachers, mainly because our dear friend Father Cedric Pizania is on one of those channels. channels, and he's the Catholic priest on those channels. So it's very interesting to see that dynamic. But I will tell you that our Protestant brothers and sisters, I will tell you that they do a fine job in reciting and teaching on Scripture, the living Word of God. They do a very good job. The problem is that oftentimes some of the concepts, you can tell that it's a bit falling short. And so when people start to want to know more and to go into the truth more, what do? They naturally gravitate towards Holy Mother Church in our rich Catholic faith. And it's quite beautiful when you see people of Protestant faith come into the Catholic Church, because they've really worked hard. They've had to overcome a lot of things that they were taught. But when they do, you see this brightness inside of them. And then they want to give. They immediately go into ministry because they get it. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's unfortunate we don't have more conversations like this, Nancy. Any final comments? Because I'm going to get to the other calls. But I just loved your call. It really sparked a lot of thought about this. And I think it's important we remember that God is in the miracle business. What do you say, Nancy?
Amen and amen. Thank you very, very much for having me. This is a great show. I've been trying to listen to it daily, so thank you very much.
Oh, good. Well, call us again, because you were a first-time caller, so please call us again. You're definitely a valued member of the Take-Two family, and thank you so very, very much. Okay, I'm going to get to Marie next, but hold on. Marie is a first-time caller as well. This is fabulous, but hold on a minute, because we're getting comments coming in. I want to just share with our listeners that... people are asking about the first Friday devotions and this first Saturday devotions, the requirements. Okay, again, our producer, Charles Beery, is awesome. He is going to post on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page the requirements for first Friday, first Saturday. It's 9 consecutive months to go for first Friday. You got to go to confession. There's all sorts of requirements. So you want to make sure you enter into a deeply and make sure you're committed to it. It's 9 months. And if you miss one, just pick up again and keep going. But it is for the reparation of the sins committed against the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So you want to repair the body of Christ? Pick up a First Friday or the Sacred Heart of Jesus or the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Pick up a First Friday or First Saturday devotion. You'll definitely feel like you are doing your part as a Catholic. Okay, we're going to get to Marie. Marie is from Jackson. Is it Jackson, Michigan? On Good Shepherd Radio. It's Jackson, Michigan, correct?
Right.
Okay, good. Hello, Marie. First time caller. Welcome.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I was listening to you on Good Shepherd Radio, and I heard this lady talking about that we still have miracles today. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tell you about one of my miracles. I was having a few years back, I was having a very hard time, and during this time, and I had a miracle. I was at Mass, and as the priest lifted up the chalice, and I could see an overshadowing of Christ over him holding up the chalice with him, and it was so beautiful. I wanted to say, yes, miracles do happen yet today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you, Marie, what was going on in your life, if you can share with us, when you had that beautiful gift from God?
I was going through a very deep depression, mm-hmm. because of family situations. My husband is he's not physically abusive, but he's very mentally abusive, and I had two stepdaughters who were also very abusive mentally to me, and I was just going through a very deep depression, and I needed the Lord so badly at that time, and he showed me his love. He showed me he was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is incredible. So when God shows himself to people, they usually need it most, right? And that's a wonderful thing. It doesn't have to happen to us. It doesn't have to happen to us on a regular basis. It shouldn't have to happen to us. But when God does show himself, he goes that extra way to reach that person that really and truly needs it. And Marie, you were, in my opinion, based on what you shared, you were given that beautiful gift. And I know you're not expecting for God to show himself every time, but I bet you that you think back, and as you close your eyes, you can actually see it all over again.
Yes, I can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That should make you feel very, very loved by God.
I know he's there. I know he's always there. Yes.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And I will tell you that since 1989, I've been in ministry on the parish level, and now on the radio. And I will tell you, I've heard story after story after story of people receiving an image or some indication that God is there, and God is really trying to help you during a time. Now, there have been people in real joyous times, they have also seen and had these great gifts. But oftentimes it's when somebody really, really and truly needs it most. And I love that about our God. Now, it doesn't always happen with an actual something that you can actually see. A lot of people will just feel it. They'll just feel that God is very, very close to them. And that's what we gain from when we receive the Most Holy Eucharist. That's what we gain, because we are actually taking God inside of us, and how important it is for us to have food, right? And God is coming right inside of us and wanting to help us and be so very, very close to us. It's a beautiful, I'm glad you shared it with us, Marie. We needed to hear it, so thank you. How are you doing today? Everything good?
Everything's good. I went through a lot of heartache, but I went through some psychology and some therapy, and I think, and then I changed churches. And the priest told me at the time when I changed churches, he says, when you change, you're going to have some miracles happen. Mm-hmm. And when I changed churches, I have had the miracle of having my sanity back, and my husband has changed. He's much different towards me.
Wow.
But I'm closer to my family than I was before.
Okay, that's incredible. You've got multiple miracles. Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. Marie, you got major things are happening in your life that in a beautiful way. Anything else you want us to pray for? I put everybody you mentioned in your family, I put them in the book, but we just want to praise God that this is moving in a good direction. Any quick comments?
I'd like to have somebody pray for my husband.
Okay. Okay. But he's treating you better?
He's treating me better.
Good. Good. Okay. Well, miracles unfold, and we'll keep doing. Okay. So we've got you in the prayer book. We've got you covered in prayer. You're a first time caller. So just know that we believe in the power of prayer, and we get a lot of praise reports. So call us back and tell us, and keep in touch with us. Okay. Thank you. God bless you. First time caller Marie did a beautiful job. I'm going to get back to the phones. I forgot to mention this. I want another congratulations going out to our great EWTN radio partner. Tri-State Catholic Radio in Jasper, Indiana is celebrating 9 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Steve and Linda Leagers and at WTJW. I love that. WTJW. From your friends here at EWTN. So the Leaguers are doing a great job. Steve and Linda, keep going, you guys. That's awesome. In Jasper, Indiana. Okay, I'm going to get back to the phones. We're getting text messages come in. We had a text message come in from, I believe it was Michelle, saying, is there a difference between the real presence and transubstantiation? Okay, we could do a whole show on transubstantiation, just to let you know. When I was in my graduate school for theology, a whole entire course was on transubstantiation. Okay, so what Jesus is when the priest in the person of Christ calls down the Holy Spirit, the epiclesis, and the bread and wine is turned into the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. That's that big word, transubstantiation. So it still tastes like bread. It still looks like bread, but it's really the body of Christ. It still tastes like wine. It looks like wine, but it's the blood of Christ. Okay. But Jesus is truly present. He's really and truly is present. That is the key. It's not some kind of symbol. It's not some kind of practice or ritual. Jesus is, and the word is, truly present in that host and in that chalice. Okay, so it's very, very important. We understand that, and when people say, "Well, the real presence, what does that mean?" So Jesus is there. Use that word, if you will. Use the word truly present. So he's actually there, and it is very, very. You talk about a miracle. Yeah, it's incredible, and that's why we love our priesthood. They bring us the sacraments, right? So we need the priest. We got to pray for our priest, and it's very, very important. I'm trying to make room for Jerry Usher, who's going to be coming on shortly, but I want to get to Kathy. And Kathy is from, I hope I get your city correct, Kennesaw, Georgia, on Sirius yeah. XM 130. Oh, I got it right. I'm so happy. It's Friday. Yeah. Hi, Kathy. Yes.
Hi. I am so excited that I have this chance to share what happened at Mass about 3 Fridays ago. Mm-hmm. I was standing in line to receive communion, to receive the body and blood of Christ, and I noticed that there was a little accident by one of the Eucharistic ministers where the blood of Jesus had dripped onto the tile floor in the receiving line. And so as I approached to receive communion, I bypassed her because they were attending that with taking care of it with the cloth and wiping it up off the floor, off the tile. So I quietly was like, "Okay, Lord, I love you so much." I go back to where I was sitting and knelt down. And instantly, as my eyes closed, I could picture in my holy imagination, and that's another thing I want to talk about, is I could see the blood of Jesus dripping into the dirt. Mm. And it was like I was transformed to that place. And I knew it was really happening because my emotions just broke down. I had to do whatever I could to contain, so I went and just burst out in weeping tears. And crying. It went so deep in my soul that mm-hmm. it was just amazing. I was like there. It was like the veil was removed. And so, and I'm very like an intellectual. I kind of intellectualize everything. So I'm like, yes, I know and I receive and I believe. But this touched my soul in a very profound way. And I just had to share with it. Shared this experience with others after Mass, and a couple other women that were with me, they experienced the same thing. So it was just really amazing. So when I'm on my way home in the car and I hear Nancy sharing about Eucharist and lifting up our prayers and needs in the chalice as it's being lifted up mm-hmm. to the Lord, and we have so many prayers going on right now for our families and healing and, you know, childhood trauma being healed. You know, the scriptures of Isaiah 58, I was born in 58, so I remember this. Like, Lord, you are the repairer of the breach. You are the restorer of broken places and ancient ruins, and that you redeem all things. Isaiah 43. You know, do not look to the former things. Behold, I do a new thing, and you are my witnesses. So these scriptures are so powerful because we're experiencing the incarnation and the reality that he lives and he moves and he has his being in us. So when Jesus says, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have no life," he's talking about spiritual, physical, mental, all of it, life in you. And it makes such a difference than just being the walking
You know, I'm just up and breathing and walking around with no purpose, no nothing. I mean, mm-hmm. Jesus is the life that we need. And powerful stuff. So this is a wonderful experience to be able to share this witness and testimony.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. And you shared it beautifully. And you shared it well. And so I'm assuming that you would agree when I stress that we need to say he's the real presence. He's truly present. He's really, really present. And it's important that we emphasize that, because you experienced it. And it's incredible. There's so much we can say about it. I wish we had more time. I'm going to invite you to definitely call back next month when we do the Real Presence again. I'd like to talk more about some of your understanding, because the way I can tell that you process it, it's very important that we need to chat a little more. But we're obviously out of time because Jerry Usher has connected and we're going to get a seminary check-in. So would you consider calling back maybe next month at the Real Presence show or the following month, Kathy?
Sure. I'm going to be going to Italy on a shrine tour.
Nice.
In the middle of October. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, good. Okay, so congratulations on that. We'll be praying for your pilgrimage and then call us again. Thank you. I want to just say to Mary Therese in Albany Diocese, and also to Sandy in Madison, Alabama, I'm so sorry, and the others that are coming in right now, we're not going to get to you probably today because Jerry Usher has connected. And I just wanted to say we are trying to schedule Father Chris Alar to come on to take two. He's going to actually walk us through the Mass. So we're going to be talking all about that big word, transubstantiation, and what does it mean, and the epiclesis and everything, the priest standing in the person of Christ. What does it all mean, and all the order of the Mass? So hopefully we'll get Father Chris Alar on soon. But Jerry Usher is with us. We got to do that seminary check-in. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Debbie. Hey, Take Two family. How is everybody? I'm praying for you every day, and I appreciate your prayers for me.
This is amazing. We're having the most beautiful conversation. I wish I could get to Mary Therese and Sandy and the others. Great questions. People want to take on the First Friday devotion, the First Saturday devotion. They're just serious about going deeper with our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist. I know you love the Eucharist because you're planning, hopefully, God willing, to become a priest.
Good Lord willing, yeah. I'm at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary. It's in Weston, Massachusetts, a little bit west of Boston. And I am in the first year of the program. It's a four-year theology program. They placed me in first year, so I'll be here for a while. But I'm with the Diocese of Orlando, and so happy to be, and just loving life here at the seminary. It's got all of the usual challenges, lots of reading, classwork, other formation obligations. But Debbie, it is a real grace and a blessing for me to be here, and it is a grace and a blessing to be able to come on the show here for a little bit every now and then, and hopefully looking forward to a more regular appearance coming up after the end of this year and the first of next year.
I can't wait. We can't wait. A lot of folks are saying they're so sweet, Jerry. They say, we love you, Debbie, but we like when the two of you are together because you go back and forth, and it does make the show so much more fun, and we learn so much together. And so, yeah, we can't wait to have you back on a regular basis. But Jerry, we're talking about the Eucharist today on this Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and you're in seminary training. Anything you want to say about the Most Holy Eucharist?
Wow. I heard you say to one of the callers, you know, if only we had time, because I can say that right now. I would just say there are moments now that God has, you know, returned me to the path of priestly formation, where I will just sit in the chapel or at bed at night or wherever I am, and it'll just hit me. You know, I ponder the reality. I look at my hands and I say, you know, these hands, together with the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of consecration, will, God willing, one day call down the second person of the Blessed Trinity onto the altar for the faithful to receive his body and blood, soul, and divinity. So it's an overwhelming thought. No man is worthy of it. No man, of course, can do it apart from the mark on their character being in the person of Christ, and like I said, the power of the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, the Eucharist has been for a long time, and believe me, is becoming more and more the center of my life.
Mm-hmm. That is so wonderfully said. We had a great text message that came in from Michelle asking if there's a difference between the real presence and transubstantiation. And so I wanted to share with Michelle that we are going to go through the order of the Mass. But anything you want to say on that, because you're on a good roll there.
Well, I would say transubstantiation is the means by which the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. So They're not identical because, like I said, transubstantiation is what happens to the bread and wine. And of course, the real presence of Jesus is what bread and the wine become, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we're actually in our philosophy class, we're learning all the Greek philosophers and how they led to the Christian philosophers. Mm-hmm. And they gave us words like substance and matter and form. And now we're learning all the transubstantiation and consubstantiation and all of that. So yeah, that's I guess we're going to have to leave it there for now.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. That's why we love dedicating this whole entire show First Friday to the Real Presence. And Jerry, why don't you close us out because I give you that honors.
Well, I have to do so by saying, gentlemen, brothers in Christ, if you think the priesthood opportunity to be a priest has passed you by, the theme here at Pope St. John the 23rd is it's never too late. So please just log on. Go to psjs.edu. psjs.edu. Get a hold of us up here. Who knows? God could maybe fulfill a vocation in your life. So until I talk to you again, until Debbie's with you on Monday, have a beautiful and blessed weekend.